I just want to say good morning one more time, and we appreciate your presence. You know, as we celebrate a homecoming day, it's appropriate that we look back on the blessings that God has given us and recognize that God is faithful. You know, we find that over and over throughout the scriptures about how God is faithful. And we sung some songs that made reference to his faithfulness and his blessings that he gives to each of his people and to us collectively and to his church. So as we turn to the word of the Lord here in just a moment, I first want to just recount to you a couple of excerpts from the history of this church. And as you hear these things read, again, I make this comment a lot, I know, but I want you to consider the times that these things, and I'm going to share with you when they occurred, what life may have been like, how this would have affected you, how you would have responded and acted, what you would have participated in or may have done, or whatever the case may be. Apply it to your life. Apply it to yourself and your consciousness. And then do the same as we go through this our message this morning, because I believe the history that I'm going to read to you ties into the Word of God. So again, this is not conclusive, but it just highlights from the blessings that God has given to this church and to the members that have been faithful to it. World War I ended in 1918, and just 4 years later, the Atlanta Primitive Baptist Church was constituted when a small group of believers assembled together at the Majestic Hotel on Peachtree Street. The date was Wednesday, May the 9th, 1922. There were two elders, George D. Goddard and Walter M. Blackwell, who served as presbytery as the 13 men and women became an official church among the Primitive Baptists. By October 1922, this young church, of only 5 months, being full of zeal and dedication, purchased the lot at 766 Boulevard Northeast for $3,000, and a building contract was given the same day. And for a side note, the average household income in 1922 was $3,269 a year. Moving forward, on October the 29th, 1929, the stock market crashed and the Great Depression began. The church was already meeting just once a month, and in August 1933, they leased the Boulevard property to a Jewish congregation with an option to buy. Then met at the Glazer Memorial Building for the next 6 years, with the exception of 9 months where services were held in the Junior Order Hall on Capitol Avenue. And folks, I just want to insert my own thoughts here. Nothing stopped them from gathering and worshiping. When the Jewish congregation vacated the Boulevard location, the church returned to their own church house and with church rejoicing celebrated August 16, 1939 as Homecoming Day. Only 2 weeks and 2 days later, World War II started. Later in 1957, the Boulevard property was sold to the Plymouth Brethren, and after the building was vacated by the Atlanta Church, the Saints met on the Emory campus for several Sundays before moving into the new church house on South Ponce de Leon Avenue, which is this location. The very first service held in this building was on Thanksgiving Day, November 1958. This was truly a day of rejoicing and thanksgiving to be able to gather together in this place of worship on this special day after so many years of hard work and preparation. The building had no heat and power, but was sufficiently finished enough to meet that Thanksgiving Day. That came soon after, and the dedication service was held January 11th, 1959. I'm thinking of the hard work that went into our homecoming just for today. It reminds me of the hard work that these people put into it. Moving forward again, on April 19th, 1970, the church had a mortgage burning service. Copies of the actual papers were burned just outside the sanctuary on our gravel driveway. It was an exciting day that had been in the making 48 years since 1922. More projects could now be undertaken, such as paving the parking lot. In 1975, The National Park Services placed Ponceleon Avenue northeast from Moreland Avenue to Fairville Field Road on the National Register of Historical Places. This citation included our church building right here. On May the 9th, 2024, we celebrated our 102nd year. If you look back over that history, through all the ups and downs, you know there were six wars throughout this period of time. World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, two Gulf Wars. Think of what those people saw. Think of the stock market crash. Think of the going and coming from different buildings and all the hard work that went into building the first church building and now this building that was here. And think of the original members that may have been alive during the Civil War. When you think back on that history, God is faithful to His people. And when we are gathered together to worship Him, God will bless us as needed to do such a good thing as to come together as a church body to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He is faithful, and He has been faithful to the Atlanta Primitive Baptist Church for 102 years. And folks, as now as you begin to look at your own life, and you think about throughout all these ups and downs that not only the church went through, but these members went through, and what you have been through in your life, you have to recognize God has been faithful to you. You know, the Scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians, that God is faithful, who has called you, and folks, that is imperative that you understand that He has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He called you and He knew you by name before you were ever born. And we read in Hebrews that let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. As we see God's faithfulness through the history of this church, as you look at your life and you think about the things that you have been through in your life, it is undeniable. God is faithful to His people and to His church. And folks, that needs to be a comfort to us. It needs to be a reminder to us as we are remembering Homecoming Day now. I want to ask you some questions. God is faithful to His people, and we need to remember. He was there with those brethren, no matter where they met. He was in the midst of them. And folks, God is here in the midst of us today too. He promises that. He is in this house. So I want to encourage you to put aside any outside thoughts that you might be struggling with and replace it with reverence and worship before your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He is here today. Now, our message today is a very, very, very simple one. But I want you to apply it to your life. And I want you to think about all these members that were here in the Atlanta church from the very conception of how they lived their lives. You know, we can try to imagine all we want. And I think we can figure this out. But I want you to consider that as we apply this. Our message this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. This is a very simple parable, very well-known parable. But it's a very important parable. So I want to read it. I want to back up and apply it to us and dissect it and see some things that perhaps we oftentimes just gloss over. But it's important. And these are the words of Jesus. Again, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. It's on the PowerPoint, but perhaps you want to follow along in your Bibles. And these are the words of Jesus. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, And well, let me finish. So it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let me just remind you, in case you want to gloss over this, Jesus has authority over your life. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of every breath that we take. And we need to be praising him for that simple, merely fact. He gave you life today. And he has authority over you because he knew you before the foundation of the world. And he has called you into fellowship. He has called you by name, and you are here to worship him this day. But just in case you're a little unclear about it, later on in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, Jesus tells the disciple after the resurrection, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority, folks, and that's the authority over you, the authority over me. And we need to praise him as our sovereign Savior and not try to casualize him and bring him down to a level equal with us. You know, Jesus later called his disciples friends. That's because he was lifting them up. He wasn't descending to their level because Jesus is holy. And we need to remember that we serve a holy God. Holy God. Today's homecoming. We just read a parable, and I went through it very fast, that Jesus spoke and gave to all of these people that were listening. Let me ask you a question. I asked it once already. Will you listen to his sayings? We're going to look at those in just a moment. Will you listen to the sayings of Jesus Christ from the perspective that he has authority over you? Because that's important. The world may hear some of the things that Jesus said and just say, well, you know, those are good things to do. It's different. As a believer, when you hear the words of Jesus Christ as your Creator, as your Redeemer, as your Lord and Savior, and as one who has authority over you. So are you here listening to his sayings this morning? What was in your heart when you came? You know, we all came to celebrate homecoming too. But you know, when we come together homecoming, we draw strength and comfort from one another. It's encouraging to us, and it should be. But more importantly than anything else, we need to be here to draw close to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I asked you, how do you think about the people that built this church? And the ones, and many of you, many of you now, who are here. Live that history that I read from the church, a good portion of it. Many of you here have lived through that. You remember people that are no longer with us. How did they live their lives? You saw it. Did it have any bearing and reflection on you? What do you think they built their life on? What have you built your life on is the question that Jesus asked in this parable. Will you listen to Jesus' sayings? Now let's go back and let's look at the parable, because there's some things I want to point out to you. There's three similarities in this parable. We have two men. Both of the men are described as builders. They're building a house, which is reflective of their life. Both men, and this is important, they heard. They heard the word of God. And both men faced a storm. That's what we just read in this parable. But there is one major difference. One of them builds on the rock, and the other builds on sand. We'll go back in here now and look at those, but I want to tell you, the priorities in our life, the philosophies that we ascribe to and those things that are important to us, our lifestyles are all affected by the foundation we build our lives on. That's why I keep asking, what have you built your life on? What is your foundation? In the parable, if we go back up to verse 24, it starts out, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So to me, the first obvious question is these sayings. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. This parable is given at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And folks, it would take a week to go through the Sermon on the Mount and really try to examine everything that Jesus said, these sayings. But this is what he's referring to, these sayings of mine. So we need to look back at the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm just pulling out a couple for us this morning, folks, because we wouldn't have time to go through them all. Maybe these that we're pulling out will be special to you or touch you in some certain way, because again, I want you to look at your life. And I want you to think about those who went before us and the things that those men and women, those members of the Atlanta church, experienced. How did the sayings affect their lives? And as we contemplate this and roll it around in our minds and in our hearts, I want you to think, your life, how is it affecting other people? How did the members that we talked about earlier affect many of you that are here now? And now, how are you affecting others? It's important. So these sayings of mine, Jesus says, I will liken unto a wise man those that do them. You see, we have to be practicers of the word. What we hear, what we do, we have to put into practice to be a doer of the word. So let's look at a few of these sayings. The first one for this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And this, folks, is directed to you on an individual basis, but of course it applies to the church too. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that you may see that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, folks, the way we live, other people see it. Are you living a life that is very evident so other people can see your faith? Only you can answer that. Are you the same person when you go home or when you go to work or when you socialize with other people, wherever it may be? Are you the same person there as you are here this morning today? That's what living your life, sharing your faith is all about, so other people can see it and that you will be a positive influence over somebody and not a negative one. Because, folks, when we turn away from God's word, there is no light. There's only darkness. The only light in this world is found through the light that shines through God's people. And that includes you. So are you living a life where other people can see your light shining? When we draw close to God and our trust is in Him, the Lord's light will shine through us. I pray that you are living a life and being a light to the world. That's just one of the sayings. The second one is found in chapter 5 also, verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, folks, that's a hard saying, especially for the Jewish people at that time. If you put yourself for just a moment, go back 2,000 some years ago in the life of the disciples and all the people that were hearing this, the multitudes of people. The Jews were occupied by Roman soldiers. They were under oppression by their occupiers. They were surrounded by pagan people from the Greeks and other societies that had all types of abominable practices that they participated in. There was even divisions amongst the Jews. The Judean Jews down around Jerusalem felt like they were superior to the ones in the northern part of Israel, the Galileans. So it was not an easy saying for Jesus to say this. Listen to it again. You have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, they were surrounded by enemies. So did they walk around daily hating everybody? What kind of life is that? That's not the life that we are instructed to live by. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. It's a hard saying. But folks, are you doing it? You see, there's a change in us. When Christ is the focal point of your life, we don't view the world the same or like we used to. You see, it takes a humble person to love their enemies. And when I say humble person, it takes somebody who recognizes what a sinner I am, who recognizes how much God has forgiven me. And it should bring tears to your eyes when you think about how good, how kind, how forgiving the Master is to you. When you first recognize that, then you can look at your enemies, who truly are your brothers and sisters, and you can pray for them, because that hate that was there before is replaced by love. And folks, when somebody has done something so good to you, don't you want to see other people have the same thing done for them? You know, too often, Christians just glorify God for His grace in their life. But for some reason, they want to restrict it and limit God's grace to the way they think it ought to be administered to other people. They want God's grace as long as they benefit from it and the people they love. They don't want to see God's grace given to somebody else. But you see, a loving heart does. And that's what Jesus meant by praying for your enemies, so that they would turn away from the life of wickedness that we find in this world and turn to God. How much more loving can you be than to pray for somebody that Jesus would come into their life? And how much more loving can you be when you live a life that is the light of the world, that demonstrates God's love to them? That's what Jesus has called us to do. These are just two of the sayings. Remember the parable. Remember the parable. Those that hear my sayings and do these sayings of mine. That's just two of them. Now let's move forward in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So folks, again, I'm full of questions this morning. Is God the true treasure in your heart? Remember, I said you have to look at your life. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is God the treasure of your heart? Do you trust Him with all your heart and soul? If you do, then you can do this next saying of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, this is a command. Seek first the kingdom of God. As God's children, as His followers, He is supposed to come first in our life. We are supposed to seek after Him. But see, it's implied if you do that, you have to have a trust factor. If you put God first, He will take care of you. So sometimes it's not always easy to do this saying, to seek God first. But folks, I also want you to recognize, when you seek God first in your life, then church will be very high on your priority list. So I want you to think about your life and the influence you have on other people. You know, we're a spread out and diverse congregation. Of course, the people you know, most of them don't come to this church. But they ought to be going to church somewhere. Are you influencing those people to go to church somewhere? Because as a follower of God, if He is the treasure of your heart, if you are seeking Him first, folks, you need to be in church. It should be high on your priority list. Now, I just pulled out a couple of sayings from the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. There are so many more. But how many of us can do just these sayings that I chose? Can we love our enemies? Can we pray for those who despitefully use us? Do we live a life where God's light is shining from us? Is He first in our life? Is church high on our priority list? Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? But Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now let's look a little bit closer at this parable. The first builder. You see, there's a difference. The first builder who hears what Jesus has to say, and folks, again, apply this to your life. Are you hearing these sayings of Jesus Christ? Are you like the first or the second builder? The first builder who hears what Jesus has to say builds his life on Jesus, the solid rock, the living Word of God, the rock. That's what the foundation is laid upon. Jesus makes clear that even though he builds his life on the rock, and this is where it becomes hard for some people, even though this first man, the wise man, builds his house on the rock, life is still difficult. You see, he faced a storm. They both faced a storm. And the truth is, we all have storms in our life that we have to face, along with the hardships, the pain, and the discomfort that comes with those storms. But folks, those that build on the rock have God's Word ever in their hearts. And we have the guidance and the instruction to survive the storms of life, because we have the gift of faith. It is an anchor that tethers us to the Word of God. And God has promised that He is always with us. So regardless of what the storms bring, see, we are anchored to that solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. You know, when the storms come and it hurts and it's hard, what does the Psalms tell us? Psalm 61, verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Folks, we need to remember Jesus has authority over us, and when we are anchored to the rock that is higher than I, we will have peace and comfort to make it through those storms. And folks, when we are in church, focused on God's Word and God's Word alone, we are standing on the rock that is higher than ourselves. And there is no other place on earth where we stand on firmer, more solid ground than we do when we are in church. So I'm going to tell you again, if God is a treasure of your heart, the church needs to be very high on your priority list, and you need to be in it, because on church is where you stand on solid ground. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the second builder. You see, the second builder hears the Word of God too. Have you ever thought about that? That's what the parable says, but oftentimes we read this too quickly. But he heard it too. And folks, Jesus was talking. I mean, there were a number of people here on the Sermon Mount. There were some what we would call pagans, from Greek citizens and things. There weren't just Jews here, but there was predominantly Jewish people and disciples that followed Jesus. So he's talking really to the Jewish people, whom they considered they were the chosen ones, the kingdom of God. So this is a churchgoer who doesn't hear and do what Jesus tells them to do. But everyone who hears, well, let me just say first, Jesus called the person that hears wise. And he calls the person that hears and doesn't do his sayings foolish. That's the distinction that he makes. So again, it goes back to who's doing what Jesus says, these sayings of mine. And then in verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You see, folks, whether we're believers or not, are we doers of the Word? Is God the treasure of our heart? Because we all go astray. We all wander off the path from time to time. And sometimes, folks, we think we're doing right, but we're building on sinking sand. because we're not building our life based on what Jesus has told us to do. You know, you hear in life far too often, well, just follow your heart. Folks, our emotions will lead us astray. We need to be following and building a life based on what God's Word tells us, not on what our emotions try to tell us. There is a difference. Build your life on a rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. I want to share a quick story with you. A pastor was invited to dinner to the home of a very wealthy man who lived in Texas. They enjoyed a wonderful dinner with very, very extravagant food. And after the dinner, the man took the pastor outside to a rotunda where he could show him all his properties. And so he showed him and pointed out to a certain direction and said, "You see all those oil wells? Those are mine. 25 years ago, I had nothing. Now I own all of these." And then he turned to the west, and he said, "You see all these vast fields and crops growing? Those are mine too." And then he turned around looking to the east, and there was a giant herd of Texas Longhorn cattle. He said, "All those cattle belong to me. It's all mine." And then he turned looking towards the south at some beautiful lakes and some woods, and he said, "Yep, it's all mine." And so he paused and he looked at the pastor, thinking the pastor was going to say, "Well, you've done well," and congratulate him for his success. But he didn't. He put his hand on the man's shoulder and he pointed up. He said, "How much do you have in that direction?" The man just looked at him for a moment. He kind of slumped his head and he said, "You know, I never thought of that. I never thought of that." Folks, when we don't think about God and put Him first in our lives, when we are not in church often enough to hear these sayings of Jesus, we will not have the foundation to withstand the storms in our lives. And just like this man who didn't think about, it can all be taken away. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. No matter how much abundance we have in this life, it doesn't compare to the treasures we have when we put God first in our hearts, and the treasures that we lay up in heaven, because that was one of the first sayings of Jesus Christ that I read to you. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says, He who has ears, let him hear. You know, he repeated that saying many, many times in the Scriptures. He who has ears, let him hear. Folks, you need to understand, life is hard. We get tempted and pulled away by a lot of things. But there is nowhere else on earth where you will hear with greater clarity the Word of God than you do in church. So folks, be it this church or some other church, it needs to be high on your priority list, and you need to be in the house of God, in the house of prayer. You need to be in church whenever you can be. And too often now in this society, people are no longer in church, and we need to be praying for them. He who has ears, let him hear. And folks, the reason I say that church is a place on earth where with the greatest clarity you will hear the Word of God, it's because of the promise that He gives us. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." You know, I have to think of this wealthy man in Texas, how his life would have been different if with all of his resources he had lived a life not just thinking of himself, but use those resources to outreach to other people in a manner that God would have instructed him if he had been listening to these sayings of Jesus. because the rains came, a hurricane came, and all he had was lost. And the man couldn't cope with the loss, and he took his own life. Folks, storms are a part of our life. We all have them. There are times when we are blown around and just broken in a storm, we feel like that we don't know how we're going to make it through. But when we anchor ourselves to the rock, which is Jesus Christ, we can make it, regardless of the storm and its ferocity, because Jesus has promised that he is always with us. The comfort that we gather when we are in church can't be found somewhere else, because, folks, each of us as individuals gives strength to the one sitting beside you. We lift each other up. That's why Paul said, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some." We need to be in church. We need to be ever thankful to God for his word. And we need to be doing these sayings of Jesus Christ. The instructions for our life are all found in the Word of God. We need to share them with one another. We need to gain strength by living it. And as we look around at these anchors in our life, each of you, we need to gain strength from one another. I ask that question: how do you think the people who built this church lived? How did they live through the storms of their life? The stock market crash, no money, having to move from one house of worship to another. 6 wars, possibly 7 if you count those that may have saw the Civil War. You see, folks, the storms will come. The rains will descend and the floods will come and the winds will blow. But through it all in all, God is faithful to his people. And folks, you can have the strength to face whatever that storm may be when you are anchored to the rock that is Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you do these sayings of putting God first in your life. The people that built this church built it on solid ground. It was built on faith. On the faith in Jesus Christ, the rock. And folks, we need to build our lives on the rock too, and not be led astray by other worldly things that may be popular this year and not the next. We need to be focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May he add his blessings to these words as my prayer. And folks, if there's anything in your life that you're uncertain about, ask your church members to pray for you. Read the Word of God. And let it fill your hearts. Make God the true treasure of your heart. May he add his blessings is my prayer.